This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1, verse 6. I went to a Southern Baptist school. I was from Philadelphia, and I didn't really know what a Baptist was. I was Catholic and went there to play football and became a Christian. But I got to tell you, we had religion and life for chapel, and it was religion in life, not Jesus in life, and never got to pray. I'm thinking about re-enrolling here after that. Guys, I don't know, man, but you're blessed to be here. I want to talk to you today about witnessing. I became a Christian at Campus Crusade. If you didn't witness on the plane or in the elevator or at the grocery store line, you know, that was like the ultimate sin. And frankly, I wasn't good at it. And the reason was because I didn't understand witnessing. So I want to share my favorite model for witnessing today, and that is John the Baptist. So let me read just the first six verses, and then we'll look at this text a little bit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God. He came as a witness to witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light. Let me say that again. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Elijah said." Now, when you think of witnessing, what do you think of? And I don't know if you're allowed to call out here, but give you a special dispensation today. What do you think of? Okay, what else? All right, you're going out and witnessing. You're preaching the gospel. Wrong. Well, no, Lord, not wrong, but half wrong. You see, I want to look at John as a model, and I think he has a radical truth to tell us that we sang in the songs today about fixing your eyes on Jesus. You see, what defines a witness is not someone who shares, but someone who sees. You with me? It's a noun. I think it's a noun. Before, I wasn't real good in English, but it's a noun before it's a verb. John was sent by God. You know, all missionaries, that's what the word missionary means, sent. And you realize missions isn't just for a select group of people, and it's not supposed to be a little sideshow or department in a church. Every Christian is to be missional. Every Christian is sent. And so we're going to look at two things today, very simply. John as a model shows us who we are and what we're to say. John is sent, not by the religious leaders, not by his family. He is sent by God. In order to be missional, you must believe that you are sent by God. You with me? But the second thing about John is he was first and foremost called to witness Jesus. I was preaching on this back in 99. And up until that point, I'd been a Christian 25 years. And I looked at this verse and it changed my life. I really wasn't that good of an evangelist. We sort of had a teaching church at Christ Covenant. And I read this and I went, oh my goodness, my first job is to see Jesus. You see, I was a guy that was interested in building the church, not for myself, but for the kingdom. The larger the church, the more impact. Our missions budget was $2 million a year. We supported missionary after missionary, but we weren't an evangelistic church because the pastor didn't love Jesus. And I heard a tape in 1998 by John Piper, Let the Nations Be Glad. If you haven't read it, read it. And he said this, changed my life. In the church, you need to know 150 things. They're in missions. Evangelism, relationships, counseling, schools, education, administration, missions, all these things. And if you don't know that, you have problems. But there's only one thing you got to know. You got to know Jesus better than you know. He said, God, I heard Jesus. You got to know Jesus better than you know anything else. You got to love him more than you love anything else. And you got to treasure more than you treasure anything else. And then I read right after, it changed my life. We were on a staff retreat, 11 pastors. I was weeping so much, I had to stop the car. And I said, you know, for 25 years, I missed it. I caught Jesus on the run. I was in the Word to teach, not to live and abide. Changed my life. If you want to be missional, your first and foremost and final responsibility is to look at Jesus. Tozer says, faith is the gaze of the soul upon a saving Christ. When he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. You ever pray for visions? I was Presbyterian, sort of technically still am, but we didn't believe in visions. We believed apostolic, you know, the dispensationalists. I'm not going to get into theology, but the dispensationalists and the Reformed people today, sort of on opposite things, both believe often that the apostolic age is over and God doesn't speak in visions. I got to tell you, you go around the world in China, 10 years ago, they didn't have commentaries in the Word. Guys would say, Lord, teach me half a book of Mark, and God would speak to them at night. 70% of Muslims come to Jesus. You know how? So do you ever pray that? Show me your glory. Let me see you. Not just for you, but for others. So Jesus was a man sent by God. He came as a witness to witness. What defines a witness is someone that sees an accident, is someone that sees it, the police come, you give an account. If you don't see it, you can't give an account. And I would go out witnessing without seeing, and that's why it had no power. Now, we witness to everything. Good restaurant, we'll tell everybody about it. The Panthers win in Charlotte, we tell everybody about it, right? You get, you know, someone asks you to marry, or you have a great date, or you're in love with this girl, and you tell everybody about it. And the more we love Jesus, the more we will tell everybody about it. And God can even command us not to say anything like he did in the New Testament. We can't help it. I don't know how he'll... Isn't that one sin that you think God's going to forgive when Jesus says, don't tell anybody? So please remember one thing. Before you witness, most important thing you can do. Matter of fact, if you spend all week witnessing, you'll witness. I went to China in 2002, and I went with the mistaken notion. I'd been all over the world before that as a pastor, senior pastor, but, you know, I'd never been to a hot spot where the fire was falling. I need one of those t-shirts. And so we had the largest church, so, and we gave the most money to this organization, so I got to speak first, which is pretty bad, but anyway. And what was worse is I'm on the plane over thinking I'm going to teach these folks the gospel. And I walked into a room. Well, we drove all night. Five of us slept in one bed. We were the first non-Chinese in a village. And 80% of the village was Christians, and the other 20% loved Christians because two women went 10 years earlier, sent by Jesus. It was north of Harbin, right near Vladivostok. And they went in the middle of the winter to share the gospel. They go out two by two. No individuals in China. And they went there in the middle of the night and couldn't get in a home, like Les Mis, Jean Valjean, couldn't get in. And so they laid down in the snow to die. They said, Jesus, if it's our time, we'll freeze to death. Next morning, no frostbite. God had sent animals in the middle of the night to lay on them, keep them warm. Whole vision of the whole village became Christians. So I walk into this room, 5 in the morning, I still see it. It changed my life. And they were worshiping, and their faces were glowing. And they're 12-year-olds in China that plant churches even today. No traditional youth group there. And brothers and sisters, I went in there and saw their face. And the only way you get a face like that is looking at Jesus. And I threw away my notes. I'm like, I have nothing to say. Sort of like I felt today with you guys after worship. And fortunately, the week before I was in preaching through a series on the set letters to the seven churches, and I was in Smyrna. So I said like one sentence and sat down. I was supposed to preach like for an hour. And the passage says, I know your affliction and your poverty, but you are rich. For 10 more days, you're going to suffer, even unto death, and then you will receive the fading crown of glory. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is to come. Jesus is supposed to be the bread that we eat, the water that we drink, the light that we walk by, the bed that we sleep on, the door that we enter, the shepherd that leads us, the way that we walk, the truth that we live by, and the life that not only flows in us and through us. You get the message? We are to see Jesus, to witness before we witness. Well, what's the message? And I love this. I love this message. You know, I gave my testimony the first time in a jail in South Carolina, and they picked me because I was the wild, sort of crazy sinner that pretty much committed every sin, you know, before I was in the 9th grade. And I was the one with bad language and, you know, had a bad reputation in just 3 months at Furman, along with some other wild football players. And then I met Jesus, and he changed everything like that. Or he met me. And so they had me give my testimony. You know, they always have like a really notorious person give their testimony. And I didn't even know what it meant to give a testimony. So the first testimony I gave, it was in this Baptist church, and I went like 25 minutes. And I think it was supposed to be 3, but they never told me. And the next testimony I gave was in a county jail in Gaffney, South Carolina. And I gave my testimony, and I'm, you know, what am I going to say? Well, I partied and I did other stuff. These folks are in there for murder and, you know, all these other things. So I had to change my testimony a little bit. But after I spoke, I went down and sat at a table, and there was a guy named Preacher, and he had homemade tattoos, sort of, you know, carving in his arms and poured ink on it. It's not the best way to get a tattoo. Not that I would know, but I've always thought about getting one. Mei Yi, it's a great Chinese term. It means beautiful will. And the people in China talk about God's beautiful will over and over again. And preacher didn't know how to read, but he was in Genesis, and he was reading every word, learning every word, asking people what it meant, because he wanted to see Jesus. So who we are is we're sent from God. We're sent to see and then share. And that is Jesus's invitation over and over again in the book of John. Come and see, go and tell. But what do we say? What we say is always, we start off when we witness, we always tell people who we're not. See, we think being a good witness is saying, I'm moral, I'm good, I'm better than you, I'm righteous. And if we're a bad witness, it's that we're sinners. Guess what? You're a mess. You're a disaster. You're a walking disaster. And I am too. As a matter of fact, Paul, late in his life, started out least of the apostles. At the end of his life, he thought he was the chief of sinners. You know why? We as Christians sin against the light when we sin. And as Tim Keller, or my mentor, said, Jack Miller, who leads a mission called World Harvest, check it out. He said, we're far worse than we ever imagined, but far more loved than we ever dreamed. So John starts out, when they say who you are, he goes, I am not. I am not the Christ. We need to remember that. I'm not a good person in the flesh. I'm a mess. I mean, our family already knows that. The woman at the well, you know what her testimony was? Come and meet a man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Jesus? Come and meet a man that told me what a mess I was. And they went, wow, nobody talks like that. She is a mess. Can't believe she admitted it. You know, I got to get on politics just for a minute. In our church, there were three great sins: abortion, homosexuality, and being a Democrat. I took the American flag down because after I went to China, and told the elders, if you put every other flag in here, we'll leave it up. I lost 150 people. Well, I didn't lose them. They just went somewhere else. So I'm not going to get into what Romney said. Well, I sort of am. But come on. Don't just say negative things about anybody else. Wouldn't it be great if a politician said, I am not. I'm not all that good. I'm sort of a weak leader. If you hire me, you're going to have, I got weaknesses. I'm ADD or whatever. I mean, it would blow our minds. They'd get elected. I'd vote for them. Instead of saying how bad the other person is. I am not. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? Was he the prophet? Was he? What does Malachi say? Before Jesus comes, who's going to come? He didn't even know who he was. He underestimated himself. Isn't that great? I love low self-esteem. Somebody came to me in counseling about 10 years ago after I discovered the gospel. Up until then, I was telling people, you're a saint, you're great, you're victorious, all this stuff. And there was no power in it. So I started telling people we're a mess. And the only way you can get through the day is with Jesus. And you need to preach the gospel, not just out there, but to yourself every day. So a guy came in to me and said, you know, I have a really low self-esteem. And I want you to fix me. And I'm like, you came to the wrong person. Not only do you, you look at yourself and you think you're a mess, but you don't know how bad you really are. Our first message when we witness is that we are not. And God uses we are nots. right? David, adultery, murder. I'm not sure he'd be in our, I'm not sure many mission committees would approve him. The woman at the well, the first missionary to the Samaritans. Noah, drunk, naked, not a great night. Peter denies Jesus three times. The only difference between Peter and Judas was that Jesus prayed for him. I am not. So who was he? He's a voice crying in the wilderness. Crying in the wilderness, not just in the desert, the location, but crying in the wilderness of the soul, of people's hearts. And you know what his job was? Someone said relationship. Who said that? Raise your hand. You know, I asked, what's witnessing? And you said relationship. Who said that? Stand up. Come on. Great job. All right? He's the one crying in the wilderness of men's heart. And you know what our job is? To raise the valleys in people's life and to bring down the obstacles to Jesus and make a straight highway to God. You know, it's impossible to meet Jesus, right? Who can be saved? They told the rich young ruler after the rich young ruler takes off. Jesus says, you know, with man, it's impossible. With God, it's all things impossible. But our job is to get individually in people's lives. That's what I love about what we're doing. I love missions trips. It changed my life. But I've, for 10 years and even 30 years, I've been taking people overseas. And when they go, come back, they're on fire for a little bit, but it doesn't make a real difference in their life because they never talk to any international while they're here. Or let alone their neighbor. Because they're scared of witnessing, because they think witnessing is sharing, not seeing. Do you know anybody that has a mountain to overcome before they see Jesus? Anybody know anybody? Anybody know anybody that has obstacles and challenges? One of the reasons we do what we do, and not just hospitality and Bible study, but we do leadership forums, is because Muslims and Indians will not typically come to Bible studies because they have so many obstacles. But they want to be loved, and they will be unbelievably surprised when someone loves them and doesn't try to change them, but lets Jesus do that. Anybody know anybody that's in a valley? That's so deep that they feel like they're surrounded by blackness and so depressed that they can't even believe it. I mean, I've been there often. And I've had a lot of obstacles to Jesus too, even after I've been a Christian. And you know what I need? I need community. I need people loving me and speaking into my life. Jesus in John 17 prays for three things, that we would commune with Jesus. That we would be in true community and that we would go out co-mission, which means with God as we do mission. Isn't that good news? Because frankly, if you're out there on your own, that's what I learned in China and Vietnam and Ethiopia and Cuba and Cambodia, where the church is on fire and flourishing. In 1978, there were 1 million Christians in China. Today, there are 150 million. No Billy Grahams, no public evangelism. You know what it is? It's people that see Jesus and are taking risks 10 years ago, even unto death, because they can't help but tell their friends and neighbors and even strangers the good news. And there's some guys right here from China too. So you need to go and meet them, and it's the greatest Christians I've ever met. God kicked all the missionaries out, and that's what was needed for revival. And seriously, you know that. He kicked all the missionaries out and jailed all the pastors, and then he said, now's the time. because it's not about us. We are not. He can turn the stones into worshipers. I'll close with three stories. Quick. I got 5 minutes and 37 seconds, and you're never supposed to do that, but that clock's ticking. It's freaking me out. My church, they should have done that. Let me tell you about KM. KM met Jesus when he was 11. In China, high school. So most of the folks years ago, he's 32 now, so 20 years ago, left school in the eighth grade. And so he's a Christian and they sent him to seminary at 12. And seminary is back then was in a cave with a light bulb with women and underground cave. That's why they call it the underground church. And in one room was the men. In the other one was the women, and the other room was a latrine, which I've walked into by mistake. It's not a good thing in the dark, because it's dark. And KM studied the Bible. They got up at 5 in the morning, prayed for 2 hours, then had corporate worship for 2 hours. Then they studied from 9 till 9. Saturated. And they teach every Chinese three things: the way of Jesus, the way of the cross, and the way of the crown. You know, if you're called to mission, and we all are, God's going to teach you through the ultimate discipleship tool, suffering. And so KM leaves 3 months later, and he goes out to be an evangelist 2x2, church planter at 12. And they get up in the morning every day, read the Bible by candlelight, staying in, you know, people's sort of back sheds and things like that. He'd go out in the fields, free labor, and he'd work with the laborers during the day, share the gospel. At night, they'd meet in a house, and they'd do that every day. And at the end of 2 years, they planted 300 churches in China. Today, he's a movement leader over 3 million Christians, and he's 32. And he's the humblest guy I know. You ask him what he did, he'll give you a list of weaknesses. But the one thing that he seeks, the one thing that drives him, the one thing that he focuses on is that he would gaze at the beauty of the Lord and be able to dwell in his temple. And that's what made a murderer and an adulterer a man after God's own heart. Second story. I don't care if I cry. I'm a mess. It's Pastor Lee. I meet Pastor Lee 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're over there, and the 300 police came and arrested 150 leaders in one of the largest movements in China, about 7 million. We call it the Truth Movement. Charlie, we use American names for everybody because of code. So 5 years later, the leaders get out, you know, one at a time and in small groups. But this older man, and he might have been 40, but he looked 70. He's a grandfather, so he's pretty old. And he comes out, and he's out for 2 weeks, and we meet him, 4 pastors, I take them, and he's glowing. And I think he's the leader, because I'd never met Charlie before. You know, if you're a megachurch pastor, and you're in a room, everyone knows who that pastor is, right? He makes it known who he is. The staff were sort of like, you know, they're just there. So I'm thinking he's the one that talks first, and he's the one that's glowing the most. He must be the movement leader. He's not. He was just ordinary Christian. The movement leader's sitting there and goes, I don't have anything to say, because I'm not. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the prophet. I'm not even a movement leader. And he told the story about going in there and being beaten, and he didn't have good eyesight, and he had no glasses, and every day they would, not only would he work, but at night they would indoctrinate him, and he couldn't read, so they put him in the corner, and do all kinds of things. And this is gross, but one of the things that they did is they put toilet paper in his mouth that was used. Can you imagine? And he said at that moment, God came over him with such power that he'd never been the same. The only way, friends, that can happen is if the fire falls and the Holy Spirit bursts upon us. And that is what we pray individually and corporately, that the fire would not only fall, but remain on us with tongues of fire. And I'm not talking about literal tongues, although I've been known to speak in them as a Presbyterian. Didn't happen until I went to Cuba. I'd never even heard anybody speak in tongues. And all of a sudden, I'm like saying this weird stuff. And I'm like, I think this is illegal. And don't tell anybody I said that, will you? Get kicked out of my church. What is witnessing, friends? What is it? Next time somebody asks you, what does it mean to go out witnessing? What are you going to say? What's the first thing you're going to say? We need to see. And to be a good witness means that you start with who you're not and then share who he is. And then as you engage in real life people, you lift up the valleys and you bring down the mountains. Let me pray. Lord, I only got to tell two stories at the end, so you tell them the third one. And I pray that everyone in here would be the story of your grace. May your Spirit come. May you come back, Maranatha. But until then, may we see and share. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.